Talkback Gardening with John Lamb and Deb Tribe on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Good morning and welcome to Talkback Gardening. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Deb. Good morning, gardeners. Well, I wonder how many of you can remember when you actually grew dahlias in your garden for a magnificent display. Oldies like me probably would say, oh, well, I can remember that. And some of you, of course, are still growing your dahlias from way, way back. But dahlias have changed, and there's a growing interest in the growing of dahlias. And just so happens that the Australian Dahlia Society will be holding their national conference here in South Australia next weekend.
Great.
And so I thought it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to the South Australian president of the Dahlia Society. Do you believe that the Dahlia Society has been going over 100 years? It's one of our oldest garden societies.
Wow. Well, I had a good look at the Dahlia Society of South Australia's website. The sheer varietal numbers of dahlias are unbelievable, and they are so spectacular. I don't know why they ever fell out of favour, so I'm really keen to hear why that might be. And certainly being a music lover, I know sort of in the goth and the emo area, black dahlias and dahlias are, you know, very important flowers. So I wonder if that's got anything to do with it. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Neville's got to say about that.
Well, why don't we say good morning to you, Neville Jeske?
Good morning, John and Deb and your listeners.
And before we take a look at why the renewed interest, particularly from some of our younger generation, I do believe that you have a dahlia or two in your garden.
Yes, we've got about 550 plants in the garden. They're not all different. We would have probably just over 200 different cultivars in our garden, yes.
And do you grow them for commercial reasons, or are they mainly for showing?
We mainly for showing. That's our first priority, is to put dahlias on the show bench to expose them to the general public. Of course, there are bountiful numbers of blooms that we would bunch and sell to various outlets locally.
All right. We'll take a look at that very, very shortly.
Mm. Well, look, we will, because apparently there's a quid to be made in dahlias. I understand why they're so beautiful. Is it dahlias or dahlias, Neville?
We say dahlia.
Dahlia, okay.
Yes.
I'll get that right from here on in.
Yeah, Don't be a failure, grow a dahlia.
Dahlia, oh, love it. Good way to remember it. If you are a dahlia grower, or you would like to be a dahlia grower and you would like to get some information, now is your time to call in. The number is 1300 222 891, 1300 222 891, if you'd like to speak to Neville and get some information about it. And we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to send a text through, happy to take your comments on 0467 922 891.
So let's take a look at why dahlias should be part of a colourful garden. Neville, the benefits of dahlias.
Yeah, the dahlias are tremendously rewarding in the magnificent variation in the colour range, the vibrance of the colour, and the long flowering period. Now, if you plant in early October, as we do, by the end of January, they'll start coming into bloom, and that flowering season will last through to the end of April. Usually by about Mother's Day, they're pretty well finished by then. But so you get a good number of months of continuous flowering from your plant.
Yes, and it's that continuous flowering. So the more you pick, almost the more flowers you get.
That's exactly right, yes. And that's why it's important to keep deadheading your plants so that it regenerates new blooms on your bush.
Aha, so if you don't want to pick them this weekend, if the flowers are nice and full, off with their heads, and next week you've got more.
That's the one, yes, yes.
There are, as you mentioned, so many different types of dahlias. Could you just briefly give us an overview of their shapes and their types?
Yes, well, in our Dahlia Society, we recognise 14 different types of dahlias. the most popular and most commonly grown and most sought after by florists and those doing floral work is the decorative type. They are fully reflexed. They're fully doubled with a conical centre, with the centre not to be sort of lower. This is if, now, if this is for show quality. I mean, there's lots of just garden-grown types, but with petals reflexing towards the stem. They're probably the longest lasting in a vase, and it's the most sought after for, by florists and doing floral work.
All right, so it's the shape and colour range of the petals, as you say. They can reflex, they can sort of be put in, grow as little balls, I suppose.
Does reflex mean? Sorry, forgive my ignorance.
Okay, yes. What's a reflex, Neville?
Reflexing is when the back petals curve back towards the stem.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and for showing purposes, we're looking at a good strong stem. We're looking at the flower being at 45 degrees angle to the stem. When they're on the show bench, they look out at the judge and to the those who are looking at it. Yeah. And so other types. You want to?
No, keep going. Yeah, the other types.
Other types are the ball type, which is similar to the decorative in that we're looking at completely spherical, as in roundness. Roundness, both looking at from the front perspective and from the side, and where the petals are more incurved to form like a more fluted petal on the centre of the bloom. And these will reflex right back to the stem, so they create a complete ball. Very popular for decorative work as well.
Yes, certainly they're fascinating. How you can have each little petal forms this, like a tennis ball or a little golf ball, but they're all the same size and shape.
Then a smaller version of the ball is the pompone dahlia. There they grow to just 50 millimetres in diameter, so they're quite tiny, but it's just remarkable to look into a well-formed bloom to see the form and the evenness of the petalage in the pompone. Yeah.
Florists love them, and people that know their flowers and like having flowers in a vase inside often talk about the value of dahlias. What's the big thing about a dahlia that the florists love?
It's interesting is we've come to that because when we first started growing dahlias, florists were not particularly interested in them because of their relatively short shelf life. Once they've picked, if you can get 4 days in the vase out of them, that is about average. You might get 5 if you change the water and so forth. So they dropped out of popularity because of the short shelf life. But now that does not seem to be an issue at all, maybe because of refrigeration and those sorts of facilities that we have nowadays. But they certainly have come back into popularity and in high demand by florists and others, yeah.
I haven't got any calls at the moment, but if you'd like to speak to Neville, jump in now. We've only got him for a short period on 1300 222 891. But I can tell you, Neville, there is a lot of love for the dahlia on the text line. This texter says, the Little Lindock Flower Farm grow a lot of dahlias for floristry there. This texter says, I still have stunning dahlias. This texter, throw your name in if you can when you're sending a text through, says, I have a giant dahlia, by that I mean tree dahlia, that is flowering now. I grew it from a cane I found on the roadside for free. When should I cut it down and what should I do with the canes to be able to plant again?
Oh, there we are. That's a bit one from the side there, Neville, but the tree dahlias, yeah, that's certainly they are very, very attractive and they certainly create a lot of interest round about this time of the year. When they die down, how do you get them growing again for next year?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on tree dahlias, but, when they've finished flowering, they can be cut down, and if you want to then regenerate just cut a piece of the stem, which with two or three nodes on it, and just lightly bury it on a horizontal position in your soil, and out of those nodes it'll throw roots down and shoots up. So away you go again.
Great. This texter says, I have 10 decorative dinner plate dahlia plants in the garden. They are beautiful flowers and so resilient. Excellent cut flowers. So that means the size of a dinner plate, I'm assuming, Neville.
Yes, that's another interesting one. Sometimes I wonder the terminology of dinner plate. Yes, it does refer to the size, the size of the bloom, but we use the term giant, large or giant. We've dropped the terminology of dinner plate because it could also refer to the depth of the bloom. It may be a very flat bloom that is called a dinner plate. We nowadays look at the depth of the bloom, which is something that we've really noticed over the years that we've been growing dahlias, how that aspect of the dahlia has developed from being a very shallow flower. We ask for two-thirds the depth of the diameter for the depth of the bloom. So term dinner plate, I think, is a term that goes back many, many years, and we now call them giants or large.
Neville, you're talking very much about showing dahlias, and they're absolutely brilliant to visit a Dahlia Society show. I think it's quite mind-boggling, but it's not just for showing, and there is a lot of, renewed interest. The younger generation are growing dahlias, and maybe there's a link there between the younger generation and the florist.
Yes. It's really great to see the next generation of dahlia growers coming through and the interest that's being shown. One of the attractions there is that you have a season of selling your flowers, and then when we're coming up now to the winter months, where we'll be cutting our plants down and digging tubers, and so therefore then you have the opportunity to create a market or sell or give away your dahlia tubers. So it can generate some sort of pocket money or an income over a fairly long period of the year.
Well, you mentioned the propagation of them. We'll come back to that very, very shortly. But, Deb, I suspect there are people who want to talk to Neville.
There are, especially now we know we might be able to fight the cost of living increases by growing dahlias as well. We have got quite a lot of calls for our special guest, President of the Dahlia Society of South Australia, Neville Jeschke. We'll come to Stacey, Barbara, Madeline and Michelle next.
Talk Back Gardening with John Lamb and Deb Tribe on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
At the moment, it's all about dahlias. Neville Jeschke, President of the Dahlia Society of South Australia, is our special guest. Stacey has called in from Cleve. Stacey, you're interested in orientation.
Yes. Hello, Neville. I'm very good friends with your son, Carl, and Jessica, and have seen beautiful pictures of your dahlias. But I just wanted to know, are they like a frangipani? Do they need to face north, or do they have a certain orientation that helps them the best to grow? And also, how high do they end up growing? Could I grow them along a fence line or something like that?
Yeah, hi, Stacey, and glad to hear that you're familiar with the family there. They do like a lot of sunshine, so an orientation where they do get particularly morning sun. A little bit of afternoon shade late is good, especially when we get into really hot weather. As far as height is concerned, we are finding that more and more newer type cultivars that are being raised do grow to over nearly 2 metres. So there's a wide range, though, of course, of the different cultivars that grow shorter. But if you're up against a fence, they should then be getting wind protection, which is important. Otherwise, they need to be well staked and tied to the stake.
Well, there you go, Stacey. And knowing the family, you might be able to get some even more detailed advice as well. Thank you very much for the call.
Yes. Deb, I noticed that a lot of the questions are coming in on growing dahlias, and that's what I'd like to talk to Neville, get his expertise about it. So, Neville, let's take a look at it's the end of the season, and the plants are sitting there, and as the weather gets colder, they look a little bit more miserable. How to look after your dahlia so that you can have it come again in springtime?
Yes, that's right. We're at the end of the season, and from now on, when the plants, the main stem turns to a straw yellow colour, then it's time from then on to cut the plant down, because they look rather untidy then at the moment when they reach that point. You can cut them down to leave about 150 millimetres of stem above the ground, and then when you're ready to dig, we usually dig the clumps and very carefully lift them out of the soil. Now, I say that because some of the tubers will have narrow necks, and if you just grab hold of the stem and pull it up, you run the risk of breaking the necks on the tubers, and then they're useless. So get your hand underneath, lift them up, and we then wash the soil off of the tubers and bring them in and divide the clumps into individual tubers or into pairs, looking for the eye on the tuber. Now, the eye will be found quite near the crown of that clump, near the stem, so you've got to be very careful to then remove the tuber from the main stem by using a sharp knife or a secateur.
That's a critical point, and many people will see these big fat tubers and just rip the tuber off the main stem. And in doing that, of course, they've removed that little eye. So it's the little area that actually joins the tuber to the stem that's critical.
That's correct.
So is that
correct.
What the eye is?
Yeah, that's the
eye. Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's quite often on a collar, sort of a bit of a swollen or a part of the tuber that's then attached to the main stem.
Okay, so you dig your clump very carefully and then you store it. Do you allow it to dry out completely, or do you need to keep it moist, or how do you store it over winter?
Leave the, once you've cut that tuber, leave it for, leave it for a day, so that cut can heal over or just dry off, and then we do store them in a mixture of low-grade potting mix blended with hardwood sawdust, or you can store them in vermiculite or just in straight sawdust or wood shaving. The critical point here is that your medium must not be wet because they are subject to rotting, and it must not be too dry either, because then they will just shrivel up and lose their potency.
And when you were saying storing, you're storing basically the stem and the tubers still attached. You don't attach the tubers at that stage and store them individually. You store the whole clump.
No, we store the individual tubers then, because the reason for that is because not all the tubers will have an eye. You have to be look very carefully to identify where that eye is, because they're usually found around about the top of the clump of tubers. Where you'll find those that are bearing eyes.
But if I hear you correctly, you're saying that you remove the tuber from the stem and store the individual tubers rather than putting the whole clump in.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, that's I've learned a little bit more about dahlias. And how important is it to actually dig the whole clump? Why not just leave it there over winter?
Yes, Some home gardeners do leave their plants in, and now the point there is that you run the risk of the whole clump rotting. They are subject to rot, and if you happen to have a very wet winter and wet spring, the likelihood of them rotting in the ground is quite high. Also, if you perhaps are in a very sandy spot where there is good drainage, that they will survive. But you remember that each growing season they will produce more tubers. So after a few years, you'll have a massive, massive clump of tubers, and you'll have a huge amount of stems coming up out of the ground, which for us would be too hard to control and manage. So we look at planting a single tuber that will produce one or two main stems that we can control.
That would answer the next question I was going to ask you. Many people would grow their dahlias in a fairly large container and probably would say, well, look, I'll leave them in the container, but put the container where it doesn't get too wet.
Yes. Yeah, that's a possibility, yeah.
But you're going to have too many little stems coming up in springtime, aren't you?
Yeah, so you'd get away with it for a few seasons, but it would reach the point where you would have to dig and divide.
Okay, Neville Jeschke is president of the Dahlia Society. He's here to answer your questions. We've got quite a few people for you, Neville, so we'll race through them, rapid-fire questions, as many as we can. Barbara is in Galway, and you're not very happy with your dahlia's comb, Barbara.
Oh, the tubers. I was given about a dozen miniature dahlias, and gradually, over the years, I'm getting less and less because when I take them out of the ground, some of the tubers are really nice and fat, but some are already soft and then they will crinkle up.
Do you use much fertiliser in growing your dahlias?
No.
No, no. Maybe it's an idea to try fertilising. But then be aware to stop fertilising about mid through your flowering season, because we've found that if you keep on fertilising, that's quite often when the quality and keeping quality of your tubers sort of deteriorates. They need to harden off. So, but in your case, it is not altogether uncommon for the more newly propagated cultivars to have a fairly short lifespan, as in maybe three or four seasons, and then they start going back and deteriorating.
Thanks, Barbara, for the call. Madeline's in Goodwood. Your dahlia won't flower, Madeline.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening. I haven't lifted them and things, so it's been in for about 3 years. And it comes up and it's a great good bush, and I've got one of those spiral stakes and weave it up through the middle there. But I've been lucky to get, you know, 5-10 flowers off it to pick. And I think the first year I didn't realise you picked them to stimulate the growth. But this year it's like, maybe got the 10 this year, but it's like really good growth, nice and good and green. And it's one that comes up to about chest height, so what, about 1.2 metres high. But, yeah, it just doesn't put out lots of buds.
Is it getting plenty of sunshine, Madeline? Is it getting plenty of light and sunshine?
It gets all the morning light, so the spot it's in now will do it, and then come probably probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon it starts being in the shade of the fence. North-south running fence, so it's just on the eastern side.
It may be the particular cultivar that you've got that is very shy in flowering, but there again, if you could maybe stimulate it with some watering on fertiliser, may help that. It might need just a bit of a boost in... what we use is... potash is quite good when your plants start coming into bud to give them a dose of potash. in one form or another, which helps stimulate flower production.
Thanks very much for that, Madeline. Michelle is in Eden Valley, and it's a stem issue for you, Michelle.
Yeah, hi. My when I bought them, the flowers that were on the bushes were sort of 2 inches above the leaf. But from then, all the flowers that have grown have been sort of at leaf level. So I'm just wondering why they're not growing tall.
I would say you bought it in a pot, did you?
Yes,
Michelle.
Yes. And in the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's did you then plant it out, or is it still in the pot?
No, I've put them into the ground in the garden.
Yeah. I would suggest that it's probably the type of cultivar that you've bought is causing that. Perhaps try getting hold of through the Daily Society or someone that you know, buy a tuber and try that method.
Yes. Could I just come in there? There's been a strong interest in dahlias from a garden centre point of view, and you'll find that there are, as Neville is explaining, there are new varieties coming in, and they're bred specifically for growing in a container and to look at them while they're in the container, and they're quite different to the wonderful dahlias that Neville is talking about that have their sturdy stems and beautiful great big flowers.
Okay, well, I think we'll take one last call on dahlias, and that's Maggie calling from Melbourne, believe it or not. Hi, Maggie.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Hi, Maggie.
Hello. Thank you for all that growing advice. That was most helpful. I've got a dahlia in a pot at the moment, and it's got mildew on the leaves and not doing very well. And I just wondered if you'd give me some advice about that. It's about 40 centimetres wide pot in north facing under a veranda, and what I'd like to do is after hearing you talk is grow some in the front garden north facing morning sun, preferably in a dark pink color. I'm not very good at varieties. If you could recommend a cultivar, that would be fantastic, and that would grow to about half a meter, something like that. If you could give me any advice on those two things, please.
Thank you, Maggie. In regard to you suggested you've got some mildew, which is quite a common thing that happens at the end, towards the end of the season, when the weather turns cold and damp. Mildew is quite often sets in. Now, you can treat it with something like wettable sulfur or any fungicide saps, but then you have to consider, is it worth doing that, because it's near the end of the season and the plant is going to die back anyway, so it may not be worth doing that. In regard to a particular cultivar, in your situation where you are, as you described, I would perhaps suggest a cultivar called Winky Cavalier. It is a very robust, strong-growing cultivar. It is a decorative. It's pink, and it suits your situation quite well. Winky Cavalier.
Winky Cavalier, Maggie, thank you very much for calling in.
Let's take a look at cultivars. It's possible to buy little bags of tubers from garden centres during winter, and the range is somewhat limited, but there are some nice dahlias that you can get from those little packs. There's a wide range of cultivars which people would love to be able to access, and through the Dahlia Society, it's possible. Neville, tell us about your sale of propagating material in springtime.
Yes, we do have an annual tuber sale at the Dahlia Society, and there's one scheduled for November the 19th. We we meet and have our meetings and the sale at the Goodman Lecture Theatre at the Adelaide Botanic Gardens, just off of Hackney Road. We'll be on a Sunday, so we do have a tuba sale happening then.
And that's available to the public. You don't have to be a member of the society to rock up.
We give our members first option at the society, and then open it to the general public to come in and buy tubas.
All right. Well, yeah. As that date in November approaches, we'll put that information in the Good Gardening newsletter, Neville, if that is okay.
Great. Yeah.
That would be beautiful.
That'd be good. Yeah.
You mentioned the Botanic Gardens. The Botanic Gardens, of course, have done a deal with the Dahlia Society, and there's a lovely display at the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, we're very, very grateful and thankful for the Adelaide Botanic Gardens for, first of all, inviting us and having us help plant and maintain the Dahlia bed at the Adelaide Botanic Gardens. There's members that are rostered on each week during the flowering season to deadhead and tie up and maintain the bed. Reward for that, we have access to the Goodman Lecture Theatre for our meetings, and we're very, very thankful and grateful for that.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a lot of questions on dahlias, so people are very interested on the text line. I'm sorry, we just don't have time to get to them, but I hope that you go well at the Dahlia Society of Australia National Conference next weekend. But can I just read you some of the comments we've got on the text line before we let you go, Neville? Annie at Eden Hills says, I have never had any luck with dahlias, but after the death of my pet canary, Bert, about a year ago, I popped him outside the back door with a cafe au lait planted on top. He's been flowering basically non-stop since this time last year. Bert's still with you by the flowers there. This texter says, I was lucky enough to live next door to a wonderful dahlia grower, Ross Sibley. His backyard was full of magnificent dahlias with many beautiful flowers that he shared with me. How lovely. Raylene at Victor says, my mum in the early 50s grew dahlias. I want to know why she used to put the cut stem in the flame of a candle. The plants used to be tall, but not so tall now.
Just a quick comment on that one, Neville.
Yes, that was a practice years ago to burn or scald the stems, but we don't do that now. We believe that the flower is drawing up moisture. You're surprising how much water a cut bloom will take up. So if you inhibit that from happening by scalding it, I don't see how that really works. But we don't do that anymore.
I'm heartened by the interest that listeners are showing in dahlias. Would it be in order to ask you, could you send me a list of your top 10 dahlias suitable for home gardeners, and then if they've got that list, they can rock up to your November sale and say, can
this
I have
one
I'd of
like.
These, please?
Yeah.
If that's okay with you, I'll send you an email. It'll have my address on it, and if you can just, you don't have to rush it, send me that list, and we'll include it into the newsletter. And just for those that read the newsletter, and in particularly the coming events, for the next couple of weeks, I can't update the events. My colleague who puts the program together and is responsible for the layout is away, and so for the next 2 weeks we won't be able to update the coming events, and at that stage we'll be able to put in a list. So towards the end of June we'll put in that list from Neville. But thank you very much for that, Neville, and I'll say thank you very much for your contribution. But Deb?
Just a couple of quick things. Jeff asks, is the Bernice dahlia still available? It was propagated by Ken Weiss many years ago and named after my aunt.
No, it doesn't ring a bell. No. I can't place that one. No.
Okay. Sorry about that, Jeff. And Janice says, I live in Cleve, have a tree dahlia, which is now in full bloom. Comes up each year in spring, looking magnificent. We'll be planting again this year. This texter says, a big thank you to Neville and his wife. I used to live on his street and adore their yard. The bunches they sold from home during lockdown were stunning, and I'm always reminded of their beautiful garden, welcoming nature and kind sharing of knowledge when when I would pass by. Well, you've done just that for us right now again en masse, Neville. And finally, Kirsty from Edwardstown says, has the Dahlia Society grown in numbers? How much does it cost to join?
Yeah, it's $20 for a single membership and $30 for a full membership. And, we welcome. Yes, our society has grown tremendously, interestingly, since COVID has struck, actually. So our numbers have increased greatly.
Yep. And if you'd like to see what Neville's talking about and a magnificent display of dahlias, if you just go onto the web and look at the South Australian Dahlia Society, you'll find their website there and all the information you need about becoming a member. But they have some wonderful photographs of the dahlias. And Neville, all the best for your conference next weekend. And thank you very much for your contribution this morning.
It's actually on the 9th to the 12th. So,
May. It's a long weekend. Yes. Sorry.
Weekend. Oh, so my apologies. Yeah.
No. It's looking good. We've got over 100 who have registered to attend, so we're really happy about that, with the good contingent from South Australia and Victoria and New South Wales, Queensland and Tasmania. So it's going to be great. Yeah.
Darling Dahlias, fantastic. Thanks, Neville. Lovely to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Neville Jeschke, President of the Dahlia Society of South Australia. We are going to hop back into regular talkback gardening calls in just a moment. I've got a couple of May ABC Gardening Australia magazines to give away a little bit later in the program, so stay tuned for that. But if you've got a general gardening question, please call now on 1300 222 891.
Talkback Gardening with John Lamb and Deb Tribe
on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
If you've got a gardening question for John, call now on 1300 222 891. Barbara in Prospect has done that. Barbara, you would like to plant out a gardenia from a pot.
Yes, good morning, Deb and John. I was given a Gardenia Florida for Mother's Day in a pot. It's about 40 centimetres high in a 20 centimetre pot. Is it too late to plant it in the garden, or can I do it now, and what do I need to do to look after it?
Well, if you don't mind waiting, I think it would be advised to wait until probably the middle or even the late part of September. If you put it in the ground now, no matter how kind you are and how careful you are, you'll disturb the root system a little bit, and that sets it back. And we're going to have our winter, which will be cool and probably a little bit wet, and that's not the kind of conditions that gardenias like. They like it nice and warm and humid. If you wait till end of September, just leave them in the pot at the moment, put it where it gets morning sun if possible, and if we do get morning sun, and then keep it on, I won't say on the dry side, but don't let it dry out, but don't overwater it, and just nurse it through winter, and then end of September, away you go.
And when I plant it, I believe they need a slightly acidic soil, which I probably don't have here. What can I do to make that soil more acidic?
Oh, okay. Well, if you need a little bit of extra potting mix, buy a potting mix for azaleas and camellias. That'll give you the material that you want. Otherwise, if you just want to do it yourself, if you just buy some garden sulphur, agricultural sulphur, and put maybe a third of a cupful of sulphur, and just water that into the topsoil, and just keep. You'll have to buy a little packet of garden sulphur. Just keep that to one side. It'll store quite well, and maybe every 6 months or once a year, you just give it a sprinkling of garden sulphur. But don't overdo it. More is not better.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks for the call, Barbara. Lovely to hear from you. Regina is in Inman Valley, and you've got an avocado question.
I have, yes. I've got a beautiful bacon avocado. It took me 13 years to finally fruit, but I don't know when to pick the fruit.
I shouldn't laugh, but yes, that is the Achilles heel of... did you sow it yourself from a seed, or did you...
No, I bought the plant.
Yes, okay, and put it in the ground, and it grew nicely and kept on growing and growing.
Absolutely beautiful, John, and I was ready to put the axe at the bottom of the tree after 13 years. But finally, I got some fruit last year, but a lot of them fell off last year, and they got black right at the bottom of the avocado. I don't know if it was too much moisture or something, but anyway, they're looking really healthy this year, but I don't know when to pick them, John.
If you've got lots of them, you've got the opportunity of picking one that looks like it's mature. And the first sign, I suppose, is when they're hanging there, they're sort of they're just a green colour. And as they mature, you'll find that there's a little coating of wax over the surface. And that's the first sign that it's nearing maturity. So look for some that are looking a little bit waxy, and then take it inside, cut it in half, and have a look at the stone or the stone. And if it's hard and it's quite brown, you'll find that it's ready to pick. Avocados will after ripen, so even though it mightn't be the flesh will be pretty hard, so long as that skin, the stone itself is very, very hard and it's waxy on the out surface, that's probably a good indicator. So pick two or three at that stage and just put them somewhere, not in the fridge, in a cupboard, where they can just stay there for 3 or 4 days, and then test them, and I think you'll find they're absolutely delicious.
So I don't have to wait till spring or anything, John.
No. You'll find that they're maturing sort of during that late autumn, winter period. And does your dog like avocado?
Well, I'll have to pick one and try it out. Thank you very much for your help and love your program.
Thanks,
Thank you very much indeed.
Nice to hear from you and your doggy. Avocados are funny, aren't they? Because you can get them wrong just by a few days. But you're right with the over-ripening. Sometimes I just put them in a paper bag, after ripening, I meant, in a paper bag with a banana. And that seems to bring them along a bit.
Yes, I love them. And I always buy 2 avocados each week. But I know where...
Try each day in our household. I need to plant a tree.
Okay, I'm the only one that eats avocados. And if you buy them where they've just come in, this week's avocado that I buy won't get eaten probably until next week, or maybe even a bit later than that. And so after ripening, and so long as you get it before it starts to go rotten inside, goes
exactly
dark inside, and just adding a little bit of lemon pepper onto avocado makes all the difference.
Yeah, lemon juice for me and black pepper. But anyway, horses for courses. Gordon is in Hove. You've got an Indian hawthorn, Gordon.
Yes, I'd like to reduce it in size, but it appears that most of the leaves, all of the leaves, are just on the outer 6 inches, and I'd like to knock it back by 6 or 8 inches, and I reckon all I'll have is sticks, but will it shoot again?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they're tough as old boots. So you could cut them back almost to knee-high and they'd start to grow all over again. Rather than give it a short back and sides all over, sometime during winter, that's when you can carry out the task, and so long as you carry out that task before the new growth starts in late August, early September, look at the growth and say, OK, look, if I take out this branch and you're going into the canopy, and rather than just chopping back at 10 centimetres, you go back and you can take out a whole branch, a little small side branch, and just take a look at the plant itself. And by removing maybe 20% of the branches, you open it up and you allow more light into the canopy of the plant, and you will find it will reward you with a much healthier and better growth.
Should I give it a dose of some sort of fertiliser?
Now is a good time not to fertilise the plant because it's going to be dormant during winter. Now is the time to fertilise the soil. Put on an organic fertiliser or any kind you can, as much as you want to, within reason, and just work it into the topsoil or just leave it there. And by improving the quality of the soil, once it breaks down, that will be the nutrition and all the nutrition the plant is likely to need for the following growing season.
Wonderful.
Great.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Gordon, for calling in. Now I'm getting an avalanche of texts saying, do not feed dogs avocado. Do not. That apparently it's very harmful to them.
Is it really?
Yes.
Goodness
gracious. There you go. Take care. Take care. We are definitely a gardening program and not a pet advice program. We've got a couple of ABC Gardening Australia May magazines to give away, the last ones in the cupboard. If you haven't won anything from ABC Radio Adelaide in the last month, then please call in now on 1300 222 891.
This is Talkback Gardening with John Lamb and Deb Tribe
on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Andrew is in Surrey Downs. Andrew, you've got a confused frangipani.
It doesn't know what's going on. I think it's going to survive, but I just want to make a comment. It's about the size of a small tree in a forklift needed pot to move, and it doesn't know what it's doing. It's had leaves, it's had flowers, but it's just sitting there dormant. It's still producing flowers. Yikes. I think it's just been the end of a really long, confusing sort of summer for our plants.
Well, I think to do anything is probably, well, in fact, I'd go the other way. Do nothing probably is the statement. Frangipani, you'll find if you drive along the road to the airport, you'll find that there's lots of houses have got frangipanis in their front gardens. And often you'll find that they're just all leaves. And it's not until late in autumn that they start to flower. And it's a kind of a plant that needs a certain number of hours of warmth before it'll flower. And in a cool season, you don't get very many flowers, or the flowers come in very, very late. And often it's autumn and they're about to sort of drop their leaves and they've still got their flowers. And that's because of the seasonal conditions. Put them in, so long as you've got a nice, warm, sunny position, and the more sun, the better, it will thrive. And in your situation, I'd do absolutely nothing, Andrew, at the moment. It looks a bit miserable. Spend your time improving the quality of the soil. Get some seaweed product and work that into the topsoil, and maybe getting some chicken manure pellets and scratch that into the top few centimetres, no more than a couple of centimetres, and let that work away during winter, and that will help the plant come away in springtime.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the meantime, look after your confused frangipani. Many of us are, that's for sure. Congratulations to Lynn in Hackham and Anna in Eden Valley, who have won the magazines. Peter is in Port Pirie. Now, you wanted some advice on picking oranges, Peter.
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call. I've experienced a problem with oranges splitting on the tray, and I've been looking at the colour of the oranges, and particularly around the crown of the orange, and at the moment that's probably the only part that's green. If I pick them to avoid the splitting occurring, will they still ripen after I pick them?
Sadly, the answer is no. Citrus don't over-ripen. The problem of splitting is because, and I won't be cross at you, but it's because...
can I answer this from years of sitting across from you? Is it inconsistent watering?
Oh, Deb, how about that?
I actually absorb something.
The plant is growing and the fruit is starting to mature, and the little cells inside the fruit are swelling. They've stopped dividing, but they've got to swell up, and that swelling is caused by water. And if you don't put enough water on, it stops swelling. Then it rains or you water and it gets a sudden burst of moisture in the root system. They start pumping up the moisture into the fruit, and the skin can't grow fast enough to the fruit in the cells inside, and so it splits open. So that's the reason why it splits. And in terms of colour, I'm presuming we're talking about navel oranges, and they often will sort of sit there and they're not very, very, very coloured, and then we get a nice frosty night or a run of cold temperatures. And here in Adelaide, we've had a whole heap of temperatures below 10 degrees, below average. And so the navel oranges are looking wonderful colour simply because of night temperatures in particular. So they're both things that you can look after the splitting by watering regularly during summer and in particular autumn. And as for the colour, that's very much up to the seasons.
Thank you for your phone call, Peter. On the text line, someone earlier, John, asked if potash was the same as potassium
oh, yes.
in fertilisers.
Yes, sulphate of potash is probably the most effective. When you buy, say, a fertiliser and it says for fruit and flowers, it's probably got a little bit of extra potash, and quite possibly that's in the form of a sulphate of potash. It's a salt. So if you put on too much, it's a salt, and you can cause problems in the soil. But most of the garden fertilisers you buy will have nitrogen, phosphorus and potash, with the potash in the form of sulphate of potash. But for those of you that do grow flowers and want to give it a little burst, you can buy liquid potash. Some wonderful products now available to home gardeners. Look at the range of fertilisers or nutrients which are available as soluble. And these are soluble, so you can spray them onto the leaves and the nutrients go into the leaves rather than having to go in through the soil where it's got to be broken down into a particular form. So soluble nutrients, there's a big range of them out there. Go and discover what's out there on a nice showery day like today.
John, where are soil temperatures sitting at the moment?
Oh.
And for people that would like to still plant, what have we got to
All right,
plant?
Well, temperatures have dropped about 0.75 degrees in the last week. So they're sitting round about 12.5. And at the three centres at Glenelg, Walkerville and Gawler, they're all round about that 12.5 degrees. So it's still possible for cold-tolerant plants to grow slowly. Warm plants have stopped growing. So just be aware that soil temperatures are pretty important at this time of the year. And as for colour, gardens often go drab during winter. They lack colour. One of the quickest and easiest ways is go and buy yourself a little 4-pack or 6-pack what I've called bloomers. They're things like primulas or pansies or violas. Those three are absolutely brilliant. You buy them, they're just starting to flower, and you can put them into a bigger container or put them into individual containers. But if you put them there, just repot them and do that soon, you'll find they'll come into flower very, very quickly, and you have these lovely splashes of flower right through winter.
Lovely. Sounds great.
Yeah, and next week, Darren Ray, climatologist, will give us a 3-month weather outlook. Until next week, good gardening.